Thanks for checking out the Anchor Faith Message podcast from St. Augustine, Florida. Now enjoy this message.
Tonight, I'm going to kind of jump into it a little bit. Pastor actually asked me last Wednesday, and so as I was chewing on it, on what I was going to minister tonight, I actually kind of got a little bit from Kingdom Institute. I teach in our Kingdom Institute class, and I was going through a class, and I was like, man, I think this is something I'm going to expound upon, so I'm pretty excited about tonight. So I don't know if you know this, but in Kingdom Institute, we teach for about, 70 minutes, so goal's not that long tonight, but we'll see how it goes, be prepared, right? So tonight, I want to talk about make yourself useful. Make yourself useful. I don't know about you guys, but I've been really excited about what's going on at Anchor Faith Church. For those of you who've been around for a while, you've experienced a lot with us. And for those of you who haven't, I hope that you'll get to experience a lot with us, right? And so we just celebrated 20 years of ministry here. And if you know anything about Anchor Faith Church, you know that we are what? Always advancing, which means the day 20 passed, we started setting our sights on what's to come, right? It's not by accident that we received a word over the church for branches just a couple weeks before we were going to get into, or a couple months, I guess, before we were going to get in, that kind of laid a foundation for where we believe Anchor Faith Church is going as a whole, right? That our roots have been established, our trunk has grown, and now it's time for us to start branching out into other things. And so with that, I think it's a great time for us as a body, as a whole, to start examining ourselves, right? To start examining where our part to play in this is, right? For some of us, maybe you've been here for 20 years. Maybe you've been here for 15. Maybe you've been here for 10. Maybe you've been here for 5. Whatever that is, we're, as pastor ministered 2 Sundays ago, we're stepping into phase 3, which means you want to start looking at, where do I see myself in this phase, right? And for some of you, maybe you've been serving in areas of ministry, and for some of you, maybe you haven't. And so with this message, I hope that we can kind of set a good foundation and realize some things that we're going to be able to step into here in the future. So I want to start in 2 Timothy 2:20. 2 Timothy 2:20 through 21. And it says, "Now, in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work." Prepared for every good work. That word sanctified means to render or acknowledge, to separate from profane things and dedicate to God. To separate from profane things and dedicate to God, right? God is looking for a dedicated people. God is looking for people who are sanctified and dedicated to Him and to His Word, right? He's looking for someone who isn't just doing what the world is doing, but is willing to step out into the way He's placed in front of us, right? That word purify there means to cleanse externally, right? To purify or to be free from guilt of sin. It's an internal purification by renewing of the mind, by renewing our mind. And I'm setting a foundation. We're going to go somewhere. Don't worry. And the word useful there is easy to make use of or easily used. Easy to make use of or easily used. Right? So it is our job to make ourselves useful. It is our job to make ourselves useful. Right? We have to, as believers, get ourselves in a position to make ourselves useful. So when we talk about Anchor Faith Church and we talk about this 20 years and then we talk about branches and we talk about extending and all these things, you have to ask yourself, have I made myself useful? Right? Because that is our job to do. Right? It says, if anyone cleanses himself, This isn't something that's just going to magically happen to you just because you walk through the doors. This isn't something that you're just going to accidentally fall into. No, it's a process that you have to do and decisions and choices that you have to make. Now, the church is here to help pull things out of you and to bring you somewhere. But in the end, the decisions to cleanse yourself comes from you. You have to choose to make yourself useful. You have to make that choice. 2 Timothy 2:22, if we continue reading down, it tells us back in verse 21, it says, if anyone cleanses themselves from these things, well, here's these things. It says, now flee from youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart, but refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wrong, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition. If perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Right? We have to make the decision to flee from the youthful lusts and pursue righteousness. Which means we have to get to a place that we start to mature. And this isn't just a physical, youthful thing like, oh, well, he's rash or he makes quick decisions. This is us fleeing from our spiritual youth as well. Meaning we can't continue to live spiritually youthful. We have to mature our spirit past those youthful decisions. To make ourselves useful means we have to make ourselves of gold and silver. We have to make ourselves a vessel that is honorable, something that is set out for the most prime time, the best situation. God says, man, I'm going to call on this because this is my best. Right? I've always told people when we're in Kingdom Institute that my goal when I got connected to the vision for me personally was I want to be somebody that if Pastor Earl calls on, he knows Chase will get it done and he'll get it done like I would have. To think I can faithfully hand this to him and I know he will see it through just as I saw it through. Amen. Why? Because I want to be a vessel of honor. I want to be something that can be used when it's most important. When I served, I lived in Valdosta and I served at Cheddar's for a couple years. And when I went to go get hired, the manager, it was her first time hiring. And so she was like, look, I'm going to be honest. I've never hired someone before. So I know, you know, whoever I pick, it's going to be like a big deal with the other managers. You have no experience serving. Like, what makes you think you're going to be able to do it? And I looked at her and I said, look, if you hire me, I guarantee it's going to be the best decision you make at Cheddar's. Like, I promise you, you will not regret this. Right? So she hired me on. I came. I started learning, had to learn the whole menu, had it memorized. I knew everything, right? Knew all the sides, didn't need to look at it, knew exactly what was going on. Why? Because no matter what I did, I wanted to do it at a level of excellence. So I remember it was only a couple weeks in, my very first night was a Friday night. I'm serving, someone gets mad because they ordered this big dessert. It's called the Monster Cookie. It comes out in this little crock pot pan and it fills the whole pan. They eat the whole thing and then ask for a manager because they're like, hey, my Monster Cookie was too small. And she was like, well, you ate it all. I can't really, like, what do you want me to do about it? And she was like, well, I want you to comp my meal. And she's like, well, I won't comp your meal, but I'll comp the cookie. Like, it's fine. I'll take that off. No. I want the whole table comp. It's like 8 people at this table. She's like, look, I mean, we're not doing that. That's not happening, right? And so she turns around. That lady chunks a plate at her, busts on the wall. And I'm like serving next to her. She's like, what is going on? It's my first night. I walk back there. I look at him. I'm like, is this how Friday nights normally are? Because this is wild. Maybe you will regret hiring me. I ain't going to take a plate to the face for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, right? But through time, after a couple of weeks, a fight broke out at one of the big party tables. It's like 12 people. Something happens and the waiter says something. Guy stands up, punches the waiter in the face. It's like full-blown brawl. Cops show up. They pull these people out. Manager walks up to me and she goes, hey, I'm going to need you to take over the party section tonight. I was like, some guy just got punched in the face. What do you mean you want me to take over the party section? So I was like, all right, no problem, I'll do it. So I went from just serving like, you know, 2-4 top tables to serving like the big 12, you know, 16, and then had a couple other tables, right? And then after that, I never went back. I just stayed at the party section and became a shift lead, right? Then when the managers, our Cheddars ended up being one of the best Cheddars in the nation, so then they brought other managers to come and view our Cheddars, and then they would see those managers in my section so that I would be the one serving them, right? Because they realized, man, Chase serves like what we want, so let's put him there, right? Then one time I remember I had a table, and it was like a small table of two, and they were kind of giving me a problem. You know, it was late on a Friday night, and they were kind of being an issue. And so then they asked to speak to my manager. I was like, yeah, no problem. They're like, yeah, he messed up our order. He forgot this. He did this. And my manager looked him in the face and goes, I'm not comping anything. This guy's never once messed up a table. There's only two of you. There's no chance any of this happened. Why? Because she was confident in my ability because I proved myself, right? I took myself into something. I said, I'm going to make myself as useful as possible. I want to be in a position that when they think, man, I need my best person on this tonight, right? When a busload of like 50 volleyball players showed up, it was like a softball team or something showed up. They're like, Chase can run this. Right? Because I made myself useful. I did the work behind the scenes. I put in the work to know the menu. I put in the work to know the specials. I put in the work to make sure I was up on everything that was changing. Why? Because A, I wanted to make money, and B, I wanted to be good. And if you were shift lead, then you didn't have to tip out at the end of the night. So it was like an extra $50 or something that you got to keep. That's a big deal when you're a server, right? Like, I keep my $50. So then I can pay $5 to one of the small sections to come clean my section because I didn't want to have to do that. But they didn't make as much money, so they needed it more than I did. You're like, I'm help, win-win, right? But it was through time of making myself useful and doing what was required behind the scenes that it manifested in front of them. Right? So we want to make sure that we're doing what's required behind the scenes, that we're fleeing from the youthful lust, that we're staying in the word, that we're not allowing ourselves to stay in a cycle that keeps us from maturing. Right? It's our responsibility to make ourselves useful. So if you feel like you're not being used, then you need to ask yourself, am I useful? Psalms 119:9 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart, I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Are we putting ourselves in a position in a heart posture that we want to follow the word at all costs? Right? If we want to make ourselves useful, then we've got to put ourselves in a position that we're following the statutes God's place, that we're seeking his word daily, that we're putting his word first in our life. Right? Because you're never going to obtain to a higher level of the word if you don't get into the word. You'll never obtain to something greater if you don't start doing greater. So we have to put ourselves in a position to grow. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Do not be conformed to the world. The Bible constantly tells us that if you want to be useful, if you want to be righteous, if you want to be holy, if you want to be sanctified, you can't continue to do the things the world is doing. The church has allowed way too much mixture of culture with the world. Way too much. We've started to allow because we want people to get involved. So we allow a little bit of this because I want to see them connected. No, there's a standard at which we should obtain to and which we should help people obtain to. Right? It's our job to make ourselves useful. And that means we're going to have to put ourselves in a position to do something different. We have to make ourselves useful. And once we make ourselves useful, we have to present ourselves useful. Amen. We have to present ourselves useful. We have to make ourselves available to be used. Because here's the thing, if you make yourself useful, make no doubt, Anchor Faith Church will use you. If you make yourself useful, we will find a use for you. But Anchor Faith Church doesn't allow mixture. Which means you have to do the first step of making yourself useful. You have to take the time to say, I'm going to seek God and separate myself and live in accordance to his word and live in right standing to the king and pull myself out of what I used to do in my youthful thinking and the way I once was and start aligning myself to what the word says. So you've got to present yourself useful. We have to be available to be used, open to be used. Galatians 5:13 says, "For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Do not turn freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. See, we will all come to places in our own where we have to decide if we're going to do our thing or God's thing. Right? With freedom comes the choice or the opportunity for the flesh or for the love and serving of others. We're going somewhere. Isaiah 1:19-20 says, "If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." See, once we make ourselves useful, we need to present ourselves useful. Because making yourself useful is not enough if you then refuse to be used. It's not just enough to know the word and not do the word. It's not just enough to know the statutes but not live the statutes. It's not just enough to have everything you need to be useful but then refuse the opportunities of use. We have to be willing to be used. We have to present ourselves useful. We've all heard this said before that there's three things you can sow: your time, your treasure, and your talents. You can sow your time, you can sow your money, and then you can sow your gifts and abilities. Your level of usefulness will cap at whichever one of those you cap. Meaning, when I get to a place that I say, I'm no longer willing to sow this much time, my usefulness will stop there. God can only use you as much as you're willing to be used. If you say, I'm going to cap how much I give, I will only give this much, then guess what? You'll cap how much God can bring to you. Because if I'm only willing to give this, then God knows I can't bring just more that he's unwilling to do anything with. If we cap our time, our treasure, or our talents, then we'll cap our usefulness. If we have a gift or ability, and we're like, oh man, you know, yeah, I can do that, but I do that all week, so, you know, I kind of like to not have to do it on Sundays. We put a cap on our gifts and callings. And I'm going to tell you something about gifts and callings. Those were placed in you by God to be used. So you basically slap your purpose in the face by saying, the very gift you gave me, I refuse to honor you with. Your time, your talent, and your treasure. We have to get to a position that we realize I can't have limits on how much I'm willing to give, how much time I'm willing to sow, how much of my gift I'm willing to pour out. I get to a place myself personally so much that I'm willing to learn new gifts to give out. I'm willing to pick up something I've never done before because I see a need. I tell people all the time, I'm apt to play guitar. I learned lead guitar to fill a need. I enjoyed it, but it was never the ultimate calling of my life. If anyone's talked to Chris Castro, our drummer, for half a second, you realize that drumming is the ultimate passion of that dude's life. I think I had to tell him once, I was like, look, man, I love you, but I just don't love music as much as you love music. I just don't. Because it wasn't something that I knew I would do forever. It's something that I said, I'll learn to fill. And God met me and said, I'm going to get you where you need to get to be productive at it, to be useful at it, because I was willing to be used. Because like I said, if you put yourself to be willing to be used, we will use you. God will find use for you. We can't cap our gifts. We can't put a cap on our talents. We can't put a spot that say, I'm not even willing to try something new. You know, it makes me think of like Pastor Mark Brady knew he was called to ministry when he came here, always had a desire to start a church, but wasn't the biggest fan of kids. And for those of you who don't know Pastor Mark, he was our children's pastor. His heart changed towards kids. But at the time, he had to be willing to do something he never saw himself doing. He put himself to use in an area that he didn't see as his calling or his best gift. But he said, I'll fill a need. So when we talk about 20 years and we're talking about what's this next phase and we're talking about branches and we're talking about what's next, we need to start assessing, where do we see ourselves? I know some of us during the 20 years, we got to look back and we're like, wow, we've done so much together. And I even heard a couple people who were newer and they're like, wow, they did so much. And you feel like, what, this is so new to me. Guess what? You get to be a part of the next 20 years because Anchor Faith Church ain't going nowhere. But we got to make ourselves useful. We got to present ourselves useful. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Right? When we present ourselves useful, we have to realize that we're going to do this unto the Lord. It's not for my personal gain. It's not for my own thing. It's because I've put myself in a position that I want to be used by God, so God's going to use me and I'm going to do it for Him. I'm going to seek opportunities to continue to do service for Him. You know, we talk about our time, we talk about treasures, we talk about talents, and those tend to be, you know, three things when it comes to usefulness that most people will obviously struggle with at some point. Is they have to feel like they have to find balance of their time, and then they have to feel like they have to find, how can they give? Maybe money's tied in a season or whatever. Then they have to find, like, what am I even good at to sow into? Maybe some people have obvious gifts. Maybe other people have gifts that need to be pulled a little bit, right? But when we present ourselves useful, we understand that this is what the church is for. It's for equipping the saints. It's to find those gifts. It's to pull out those gifts. It's to pull out all of this stuff that's inside of you and then put it to use. Right? You know, the number one question I get when I travel out with pastor and I do different things, especially from other like creatives and other people in the ministry, because once we start listing how much Anchor Faith Church does, a lot of other churches just, you realize, aren't doing what we're doing, especially from a creative team standpoint, right? You know, a lot of churches have maybe a Wednesday night service. Most aren't doing that anymore, so they really only have like a Sunday morning service, and then they maybe do like a first Wednesday or whatever, then like a scattering of like random group nights, right? Obviously, and then that's it, right? Like that's, you know, what they probably minister in a year, we cover in about 3 weeks at Anchor Faith Church, right? You know what I'm saying? Right? So we have a lot that we put our hands to just from a ministry side. But then obviously you've got Treasure Harbor Preschool. You've got Washington. You've got Kingdom Institute. We've got a huge list that, you know, was presented at the 20 years of all the things that we've grown in and done that creative oversees, because the rule here at Anchor Faith Church with creative is that another eye sees it, it goes through creative, right? If anyone's eyes but yourself is going to see it, then creative is going to have their hand on it. Right, because we have a level of excellence we want to obtain to. So when you look at all of the areas of ministry, and actually, you know, I got a fun little stat from Josh, I'll share it. So far this year, from the beginning of the year to now, we have received 546 creative requests. Now those, this is a deceiving number, because it's actually probably significantly higher than that, because one request might contain 10 projects. Right? It might be like a slide, a graphic, a poster, a this, and whatever. So that's just within a couple months what we manage. You know, I was talking to another creative, and they were like, man, I want to build a system. You know, we're starting to grow. We're starting to get a lot. And like, I was like, well, how many requests are you kind of managing? He was like, yeah, you know, we're managing probably like, you know, like 30 a month. And I was like, okay. That's manageable. Trust me. You know, we all started somewhere, so I get it. But at the same time, right? So then the question becomes, they're like, you know, so what do you do with your time? How do you manage your time? If you guys are overseeing that much, how do you manage your time? I want to say, first of all, when it comes to time, I manage purpose. And my purpose takes all of my time. No time doing purpose is wasted time. There is no amount of time I can sow into God's purpose for my life that I will regret sowing into. So then comes the obvious follow-up question. What about your family? You bring your family into your purpose. And there's the trick, right? West Augustine, need to help out. I got to go take pictures. Guess what? My kids get to watch a football game. They get to come hang out with their dad while he takes pictures and serves, and they get to learn what serving looks like and be a part of something. You know, especially West Augustine, that's an easy one. Half of you guys are taking your kids to sports events and missing Wednesday nights or something anyway, so you might as well take them to the other ones that help serve. I mean, that's a pretty easy one. Right? What do? We find ways to bring everything else we're doing into our purpose. When I look at my time, I'm willing to cut anything that doesn't serve purpose out to make time for more purpose. I'll cut any of it out in any season. Some of you follow me, you know, I'm not some like robot, obviously. I do things. If you follow me on Instagram, you saw I just got an Xbox. Got a new Xbox. Wife surprised me. A gift, a little nostalgia. Had a little fun. So I played it. It's not like I don't play it, but there are seasons of which I don't touch the thing for months at a time. I can specifically think of one time that I cut one on, and the minute I cut on, Alyssa was like, hey, I need, and I was like, yep. And you're done. Like, that was it. That was it for the week. Right? Why? Because in anything, I'm willing to cut out the things that don't serve my purpose to continue to advance my purpose, because no time and purpose will not yield anything but extra fruit. No time and purpose will not make me feel worse. God will manage anything you have, any relationship he will make up time with if you're serving purpose. Right? So if we present ourselves useful, we can't then start to complain once we're getting used. We do our work wholeheartedly, unto the world, not to the world, unto the Lord. Right? Once we begin to get used, we then can't just be like, oh, now they're using me so much. That's the whole point of being useful. Right? Because once you find something that's really useful, you use it. Right? Everyone knows when you get onto something new and you like really like it for a season, maybe it's like a new meal that you tried and you love it, and then all of a sudden you're eating it like every other night until like you can't have it anymore. Right? You start doing something very consistent because you're like, this is great. This is useful. I love this. This helps my life. I can continue to do this. And the same thing should happen for you. When you make yourself useful, expect to be used. And the goal should be that I can be used to help make things easier. And usefulness obviously can come in sometimes seasons where maybe you're being used a lot more, maybe a little bit, yes, but I'm always being usable. I'm always presenting myself for usefulness. It's always surprising to me how easy it is for us to discount our service to the Lord because we have something else planned. We need to get to a mindset of realizing that our service to the Lord is the most important thing we can do. Right? Because there was a time in your life that you're not where you are today. And then you came to Anchor Faith Church and somebody served as a greeter and you felt welcomed. And someone served in the parking lot and you were assisted. And someone served in sound and you got to worship. And the band served on stage and you got to sing. And their service pulled usefulness out of you and got you to a place that you are now. So why would we hold that in when somebody coming through that door needs your service? I don't know how many times we've heard testimonies at Anchor Faith Church of, man, my marriage was changed. Why? Because we invest in it. There's marriage conference coming up. There was one month ago. Guess what? That takes people serving. And they're serving you and they're serving your marriage. So how dare us say I'm not willing to serve? To hold back a gift that could change someone else's life. Who knows what your smile and handshake could do at the front door? But are we willing to be used? Or are we putting caps on our time? Are we putting caps on our treasure? Are we putting caps? And then you can justify, well, I do a lot, I spend a lot of time, so I don't need to give this. Well, I don't invest my money, but I do invest my time. You're capping your treasure. Well, I invest a lot of money, so I don't have to, like, I'm busy making the money to invest, so I don't have time to serve here. So you're capping your time. This isn't a trade-off system of trying to make something work. It's a, I'm willing to serve when service is needed. Because I'm telling you now, when you find your calling and your gifting and your purpose, it all becomes easy and exciting anyways. Because the other thing I always tell people is like, how do you manage your time? It's like, well, it's pretty easy. I love what I do. So it doesn't bother me to do it. I fully love what I do. So to come home and edit photos from a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night while I'm still at home before I go to bed, I enjoy it. I love looking at them. I love seeing our other photographers grow. I like laughing at some of y'all's faces you make. I get joy from it. I love putting things together. I love training other people. You know, we got Connor somewhere who came on staff with us. He put together that testimonial video. It was amazing. You said in service, we see these things. Why? We do this as service. And because we love what we do, it becomes easy. So when you love what you do, you're willing to put time into it. First Peter 4:10 says, as each one of us has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do as one who is speaking the utterance of God. Whoever serves is to do as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that on all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We want to place ourselves as vessels of honor so that we can be used. And when we're used, it's because we know I've made myself the best for this area. When they call me in, they're calling in the best. When they call me in, I'm going to give them the best. I'm going to present them with the absolute best I have. I'm going to present myself honorable of this position. I'm going to present myself worthy of being here. I'm going to present myself as someone who knows their value. Right? If we're going to strive to be these vessels of honor, then we've got to not only make ourselves useful, present ourselves useful, but then we have to keep ourselves useful. Because here's the thing, once you start getting used, if you don't maintain your usefulness, you'll wear out. And it's a pretty easy trick to maintain your usefulness, because it's the same thing you had to do to make yourself useful. You stay in the Word. You keep yourself righteous. Because the last thing you want to do is become seasonally useful. Right? Because the verse says, look, there's plates of gold and silver, then there's earthenware. But I also want to say there's a third set of plates. There's your Thanksgiving plates. There's your holiday plates. There's those plates that you pull out for a season and then you put in a box. Some of us have made ourselves seasonally useful. I'm good in the fall, but when winter comes, I hibernate. Oh, it's summer, I'm busy. Block out the whole month. Okay. We don't want to become seasonally useful. All right, the Bible literally says, be ready in season and... Meaning I'm willing to step into something, because here's the thing about seasonal plates. They get put up, they get dusty. That means when they go out, they got to be re-cleaned, re-cleansed, re-purified, ready to be used again. There's a little bit of time. You don't just pull those things out and throw them on the table. No, there's prep work that has to go back into it. And the other thing about seasonal plates is they're seasonal, which means what looked good one Thanksgiving come around, right? My wife's big seasonal decorator. She loves decorating for fall and all these kind of things. And every time she tells me that we'll be good for next fall, but next fall comes and Pinterest says what we had last year is no longer good this year. So I kept my fall decorations in a box for no reason, because now I'm getting new fall decorations. So if we become seasonal workers, then we might find ourselves at a season that we're no longer needed. Because we've pulled ourselves out of something. Let me come back. Oh, I'm ready to, I'm here again. Oh, well, we've moved. You're out of season. We've moved on. You're out of style. It's going to take some time for you to get back in this thing. Rework yourself. Right? If we're going to keep ourselves useful, then we have to make sure that we're staying in the Word constantly. Right? This is the great thing about Anchor Faith Church. Every message you might miss will come out before the next message is preached. So get on the podcast. Get on YouTube. Get on Spotify. Anywhere you can find audio, we have it. Why? That's so you can continue to help keep yourself useful. It's so that you can continue to put yourself in a position, because God will honor your service. So make no mistake, if you're serving in kids and something happens in here, you don't miss out. When you actually take time to listen to it again, God will honor that time you served. God will not call you to do something and say, sorry. No, He's going to honor those things. So if we're going to keep ourselves useful, then we have to make sure we take on ourselves the time required to stay full. Because once you're being used, there's wear that comes with it. Yeah. I love boots. I'm a big boot guy. I have a lot of boots. Some boots way nicer than others. The good thing about a nice, real leather boot, there's a break-in period. Right? There's time that you just got to wear them every day and break them in. And then they start to form and it hurts a little bit. And then a couple days in, you question, like, why did I do this? You know, I went on a trip once and brought a brand new pair of boots, and I was like, I break in boots all the time. I'll be fine. About day three, you're like, man, that was a decision that was made. And now we're here with just this one pair of boots. Right? But then they get broken in, they get formed, they're being used, they're nice, they're soft, they're easy to take on and off. They've got this good feel. It feels like just a regular pair of socks, and it's just nice. But then maintenance is required to keep them that way. Right? I got back from a trip. I then have to take them off, and I put some leather oil on it, and I clean them up, and I take care of them. Why? Because I want them to serve a long time, because when I spend money on boots, I got to convince my wife that I'm going to have them for a long time. You know, I'll never forget the first pair I actually got rid of. Cried a little, shed a tear. So I got a message. They're like, you could have resold them. I was like, it was time. Had to let them go. They had duct tape on the bottom. Right? But if we take the proper care of the things, then it will last through seasons, through storms, through trials, through tests, through long journeys. But it's the maintenance that we require, because as we're pulled on, you have to have something in you to then give out. Most of the burnout comes from not having enough inside of you. So the key is, burnout doesn't really come from, man, I've been used too much, I'm burnt out. No, you didn't keep yourself full enough to be used. I tell creatives all the time, they're like, you know, do you ever get to a point where you're just creative block? I'm like, no, because I stay in the Word. If you don't stay in the Word, you're going to supply the cement for your creative block. You're building this wall yourself that you've got to bust through. No, we have to maintain our usefulness. We have to keep ourselves useful. We have to put in the work required that in, even in a season of pouring out and pouring out, that we're making sure we're putting more in. Because as long as I continue to put more in, I'll always have something to give out. We have to keep ourselves useful. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We make ourselves useful, but the power of which we use comes from God. And if we continue to pull on God and on His Word and His power, it will be available to us to give out, to place where needed, so that we can continue to sow and continue to serve and continue to be honorable and continue to be something that's presentable and continue to be something that's great, right? I tell people all the time, there was another scripture I pulled out and I didn't use, but it says, you know, you want to be, you know, the plates that are used for honorable, not like the trash can, right? But then obviously we also think every part is important, right? And so you're like, maybe you're not a plate. Maybe you are a trash can. Then guess what? Be the best trash can in the world. Be the one that's got recycling and then trash. And then when you push the lid, it goes down slow so it doesn't slam. It's got that stainless steel that doesn't get smudges on it. Right? And whatever your calling is, you want to put myself in the position to be the best of it, to be the most honorable use of it. I don't want to be something that we hide behind the corner. Like, oh man, we want to use this guy, but whew, definitely don't put him up somewhere. No, we want to, in every position, make ourselves as useful as possible, because even behind the scenes, they're not behind the scenes. I don't tell you, no matter what position you think you serve, even if you think it's behind the scenes, it's not behind the scenes. I got guys who come in here in a dark room wearing all black, and I still get people who talk to us about them. Another church come in, "Meryl, your camera guys are so good. What do you do to train them? How did you get, like, what did you, like, do these guys work in this industry?" I've had that question before. No, I've got a team that said I'm going to make myself useful, that I've never worked on a camera before, but I'm going to learn a gifting, and I'm going to put my hand to this thing, and I'm going to practice. I was so blessed by one of our team members who texted me and was like, "Man, I just want to come up and just practice the camera stuff a little bit." Is that all right? Absolutely. Just get up here, get my hands on it again, practice a little bit more. Why? Because they're recognizing that they want to continue to grow in something. They want to continue to learn in something. They want to continue to get themselves somewhere. And that required an investment on their time. Right? We have to make ourselves useful. We have to present ourselves useful. We have to keep ourselves useful. And all three of those things will require our time, our treasure, and our talents. And like I said, Anchor Faith, let's not get to a place that we cap any of them. We want to be a people that says, "Man, the vision is worth it. The vision is worth it because there was a time that these people serving is what changed my life. And now I get to step into a season where my serving can change someone else's. I get to step into a moment where we're going to look back in 20 more years and I'll be able to be like, "Man, I was a part of that. I saw that thing through. I put my hand to that. I remember when I was just getting, but now I'm running." We have to make ourselves useful. We have to present ourselves useful. We have to keep ourselves useful. See, the season's coming in everything with the church as a whole, that we have to make a decision that we're going to press into this thing. Right? Because it says in the end, the times will get darker and things will happen. So how much more do we have to press as a body of believers to be light? Which means we have to put ourselves in positions to shine. We have to put ourselves in positions for our light to be seen. We have to put ourselves in positions that we can continue to grow. See, the church is to be the port and the pillar of truth. The church is to equip you to go out and to continue to grow outside of those things. Our job is to pull usefulness out of you so that then you can go and bring more people in to make them useful so that you can continue to go out. You know, I tell people all the time, like, "Yeah, we love to pray and get people born again, but the ultimate goal would be that you go get them born again out there and we just get them in here and start building them up." Because as a believer, we're all called to go minister the gospel to those around us. We're all called to go out and minister to people. So you don't have to have a platform to do it. You're going to reach places I'll never reach. You'll go into places I'll never step into, right? Part of my purpose class, I tell people, the way you think and process and the way you communicate is specifically designed to impact a group of people that the way I think and process and communicate won't impact. Right? It's like the constant difference between generations. Right? You got the boomers, you got Gen X, you got millennials, you got Gen Z, and then they each have their own like little slangs and sayings and things and all this kind of stuff. And then every once in a while, you know, I get on Instagram and I get some humor that's like Gen Z humor, and I just look and I'm like, "This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen." Like, I do not understand. Like, I never feel older than when I get a Gen Z reel. And I'm like, "I do not get this." I've officially entered into that stage of being like, "What are these kids doing?" Right? So there's somebody out there who will communicate to them the way they need it communicated to make the most impact in their life when they hear it. So don't shortchange yourself
thinking, well, I'm that's not me. No, that is you. Some of you are here because the people from this church worked their job, did their thing, and communicated to you in whatever way they did, and it resonated in you enough that got you here. And so now you grow in something and you go out and do it. And that's service. Right? Our goal is to serve unto the Lord. Our goal is to continue to press into greater things, to see something new happen, to be light into the world. And it's not going to come if we're not staying in the Word, if we're not willing to step out, if we're not willing to take chances, if we're not willing to be used, if we're not willing to slip or fall, or if we're not willing to do something different. If we're not willing to let someone pull something out of us. You've got to be willing to let someone pull you to somewhere else. That's what's great about the church, is they'll see something in you that you didn't see yourself. There were seasons Pastor came to me and said, I want you to do this, and pulled a gift out of me that I didn't realize was there, that I never would have stepped in myself, that I never would have saw myself going down. But it took someone investing in me and seeing worth in me outside of what I saw. But you still have to be willing to allow it to happen. Right. See, all throughout the Bible, you have people who step into their destinies. Moses, David, all these things. What were they doing? They were just doing their general purpose of loving God, worshiping God, serving God, serving their land. And then destiny came upon them and pulled them out from where they were and set them into greatness. Amen. I guarantee you, David, counting sheep, didn't see himself on a throne one day. There was no line at which he saw his course. It's not like, well, if my brother's uncle's aunt's mom dies without a kid, then, you know, maybe I could be a king one day. No, he was just doing the Word, loving God, serving God, putting his hand to work when destiny came upon him and took him somewhere else. Some of our breakthroughs might be hiding behind the time, treasure, or talent we've decided to cap. Which means some of you might be just a couple service hours away from stepping into destiny. Some of you might be a couple checks away from stepping into destiny. Some of you might be a couple giftings away from stepping into destiny. But are we willing to step out into them? Are we willing to put ourselves somewhere that it can be pulled and drawn out? I would hate to think that at the end, I look back on my life and God goes, man, if you just would have given me a little more time, I could have got you somewhere. If you would have just given me a little more time, we could have broken past this thing. But I was hindered by the amount of time you were willing to give me. The calling for my life on you was hindered by the amount of time you were willing to give me. So you look at Samson's life and he wasted his anointing, wasted his talent. And then in his last moment, he pushes down the pillars and it says in that moment, he did more for God than his entire life before. So when you think about all that he could have accomplished, had he just been willing to put the time in, to live according to the statutes that he was supposed to. Are we willing to put in the time? Are we willing to put in the treasure? Are we willing to put in the talents? Some of your financial breakthroughs are being held because you're holding. Some of you might have a gift on your life that you don't even know, but you're not willing to try something new. Right? Just like Pastor Mark didn't realize that if he just stepped into this kids, it was going to open the door for the rest of his life. What if he had said no? Right? We have to be willing to not set boundaries on our purpose. Right, we look into phase three, we look into this next section, we look into these branches, we look into what's happening and what's coming up. Are we willing to do what's necessary to be of service? Right? My whole word tonight, as even I prayed, right? Because, I remember when we were building up for this 20-year anniversary, initially it was just going to be kind of this fun, like, hang out, celebrate, because we do push a lot here. We don't do, like, a tons of just, like, fun, like, only things. We still always want to bring, you know, great word content. And initially we're like, let's just look back. And then Pastor, like, 2 weeks before was like, no, I'm going to preach. I got a word. And then, like, he told me the word, and I was like, oh, no, you're not just bringing a word. You're bringing, like, a word. This just went from like fun look back to like course correcting of the next section. Like this just wasn't a minor shift. Right? Like, oh yeah, you know, I'm going to preach. No, this was like, oh, we're preaching. Right? And so then I look back over the year. I'm like, man, this was a year of capacity. Right? This was a year for us to assess our lives and say, man, what is our capacity? And this is the thing about capacity is, capacity isn't about getting rid of something to get something. Capacity is how much more can I handle. Right? If I have 25 pounds, a 25 plate on each side of a bar to do bench press, and I take it off and put two 10s and a 5 on, I haven't added more capacity. I've just changed the arrangement of it. I've just made it look different. Capacity is, no, how much more can I handle? How much more in this season can I step into? Where is the limit to which I can continue to run effectively and serve effectively? Which, you know what that means? The more I handle, the more I have to maintain. The more wear and use that comes in, the more that's going to be required of me to keep myself full. The more that's pulled, the more that has to be replenished. And am I willing to make that sacrifice? Am I willing to put myself in a position that I know I'm going to have to increase not only my usage, but also my refilling? I increase my usage, I increase my maintenance. Right? We want to look at ourselves and we got to think, where do I see myself in the next 20 years of this vision? That's good. Where do I see myself? Am I going to continue to progress here? Am I going to cap myself in this moment? Or am I going to step into something bigger? Am I going to continue to push into something bigger? Because it's not always about doing something new. Sometimes it's about extending and doing more in what I'm already doing. How can I take where I'm at and do more with it? How can I take what I've been doing and become better at it? How can I take where I was and get it to the next place? That's what we're talking about in capacity. That's what we're talking about in making ourselves useful. We're saying, man, I'm not going to set limitations to my usefulness. And I encourage each and every one of you to just do like David and say, search my heart. Is there any area that I'm limiting my usefulness in? Is there any area that I'm unwilling to continue to progress in? Is my destiny right behind a block? Because I'm willing to step into something new. Bane, you can come. I'm willing to put myself wherever I need to be in the best position to be used by you. And like I said before, make no doubt, if you make yourself useful, Anchor Faith Church will find use for you. If you make yourself available, we'll put your hand to work. If you make yourself available, God will give you something to do. But we have to step into it. We have to place ourselves there. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this message. If you want more, subscribe to our message podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Rating and leaving a comment will go a long way with helping our messages get better circulation. If you'd enjoy watching our weekend messages, visit youtube.com/anchorfaith. We'd love it if you'd subscribe, leave a comment, or a like on the messages. If you'd like to find out more information about us and how we're influencing the world and help support the work we're doing by giving, just visit anchorfaith.com.